In today's news headlines, floodwaters continue to rise across North Carolina and surrounding states as Hurricane Florence dumps rain day after day on the beleaguered area. Rising water levels have pushed even those who decided to ride out the storm to change their minds and flee. Many have needed rescuing from government and volunteer groups. So far, the death toll has reached 17, including a three-month-old infant. The road to Wilmington, North Carolina, a popular tourist destination, has been cut off. Since Friday, there have been an additional 30 inches of rain in the region, with aerial photographs and videos showing submerged homes, cars, streetlights, and trees. Among the fears ahead of Hurricane Florence making landfall was that serious water pollution could result from hog waste pits and coal ash pits becoming flooded. Those fears are now being realized after a coal ash landfill run by Duke Energy collapsed from the heavy rains of the hurricane, raising the risk of contaminated storm waters running into nearby lakes and rivers. An attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center said disposing of coal ash close to waterways is hazardous, and Duke Energy compounds the problem by leaving most of its ash in primitive, unlined pits filled with water. Associated Press also reported of several flooded hog farms along the Trent River. Meteorologists are saying that the worst is yet to come and that people should expect more flooding. There is also a fear of dams bursting from the flooding. North Carolina has thousands of dams and about 1,400 of them are considered high hazard. The head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, Brock Long, spoke with Fox News this weekend about Hurricane Florence.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we've still got several days to go. Not only are you going to see more impacts across North Carolina, particularly as it moves from the central to the western area, dumping copious amounts of rains, but we're also anticipating you're about to see a lot of damage going through West Virginia all the way up to Ohio as this system exits out. The thing I'm most worried about is the isolated communities, those who are stuck in their homes right now that may not have access to pharmaceuticals, food, water, medical supplies, whatever. So we're highly focused on taking care of people and fulfilling that mission, as well as the hundreds of people who have already been rescued. And that's a coordinated effort from the, you know, urban search and rescue teams that we pre-deployed many days ago, all the way down to the local neighbor helping neighbor.
That was FEMA head Brock Long speaking to Fox News about Hurricane Florence. During the same interview, he was asked about President Donald Trump's insistence that the death toll in Puerto Rico from last year's Hurricane Maria was not as high as 3,000. Here is Long's response.
Well, there's several different studies out there that are all over the place when it comes to death. And you know,
meanwhile, FEMA is testing a system that allows President Trump to directly message the cell phones of people across the country as presidential alerts to issue warnings about disasters. The first test of the presidential alert system will take place on September 20th. In other climate change-related news, Typhoon Mangkhut slammed into the Philippines and the southern coast of China, killing 66 people, 64 of them in the Philippines. Nearly 2.5 million people have been evacuated from the area in China where the typhoon is hitting. The storm started out as a super typhoon, but was then downgraded to the equivalent of a Category 5 hurricane, which is the strongest such category. With winds reaching 167 miles per hour, witnesses captured scenes of buildings swaying and scaffolding being torn off. In other news, the woman who accused Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her while in high school has come forward. Christine Blasey Ford, now a clinical psychology professor at Palo Alto University in California, had written a letter early this summer about her experience of sexual assault by Kavanaugh and another person to lawmakers when it became clear that he was to be on the shortlist of Supreme Court nominees. Senator Dianne Feinstein sent the letter to the FBI, but only after Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings had already begun. Kavanaugh had issued a denial saying, "I categorically and unequivocally deny this allegation. I did not do this back in high school or any other time." The Washington Post, which broke the story, said Ford took a polygraph test administered by a former FBI agent in early August. The results, which her lawyer provided to the Post, concluded that Ford was being truthful when she said a statement summarizing her allegations was accurate. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley responded by sharing a letter written by 65 women who claimed to know Kavanaugh, saying that he has behaved honorably and treated women with respect. But two Republican senators, Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, have both said that Kavanaugh's accuser ought to be heard by the Senate Judiciary Committee ahead of a confirmation vote. White House counselor Kellyanne Conway also said on Fox, "This woman should not be insulted and she should not be ignored." She added, "She should be heard and should not unduly delay the vote on Judge Kavanaugh." Indeed, Ms. Ford's lawyer has said her client is willing to testify to Congress about her experience. Republican Senator Susan Collins, who remains undecided on Kavanaugh's nomination, was questioned by a CNN reporter over the weekend. Here's part of that exchange.
Well, I obviously was very surprised. And it's an issue that I brought up with him last Friday, and he denied, as he did in his written statement. That's really all I have to say at this point.
What do you think? Should the committee vote coming up here this week?
I'm going to be talking with my colleagues, but I really don't have anything to add at this point. As I said, I did read the letter last week and asked the judge in a telephone conversation on Friday about it, and he was very emphatic in his denial.
Do you believe the accuser?
I don't know enough to make a judgment at this point.
That's Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine speaking with CNN over the weekend. In news from the special counsel's investigation into election wrongdoing, Trump's former campaign chair, Paul Manafort, has finally agreed to plead guilty to 2 out of 7 charges that involve lobbying on behalf of the Ukrainian government and other related accusations. In exchange for the guilty plea, the government has agreed to drop the 5 other charges and to not retry earlier charges. Most importantly, Manafort has agreed to completely cooperate with the special counsel, which means he may reveal any and all knowledge of wrongdoing, including regarding the president. Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, issued a statement saying the president did nothing wrong and Paul Manafort will tell the truth. Minutes later, the statement was reissued without the second part of the statement, perhaps because Trump's legal team knows it may need to call Manafort's honesty into question at a later date. A Republican pollster briefed a senior White House staff recently about the GOP's election prognosis, as per Associated Press. The predictions were grim. The pollster, Neil Newhouse, apparently offered that the determining factor in the election wouldn't be the improving economy or the steady increase in job creation. It would be how voters feel about Trump. And the majority of the electorate, including a sizable percentage of Republican-leaning voters, doesn't feel good about the president. A Border Patrol agent was arrested on Saturday in connection to the killings of 4 women. Agent Juan David Ortiz was arrested in South Texas. Webb County Sheriff Martin Cuellar said, "We consider this man to be a serial killer who was preying on one victim after another." It is suspected that the 4 victims were sex workers in the Laredo, Texas area. Ortiz was caught after one of his victims escaped and contacted authorities. Also in Texas, protesters supporting the victim of a recent fatal incident of police brutality in Dallas marched to the Cowboys game on Saturday night. 9 people were arrested after blocking a traffic intersection as they protested the killing of a 26-year-old African-American man named Botham Shem Jean by a white police officer named Amber Geiger. On Friday, Jean's family was outraged when a local Fox affiliate tweeted, "Marijuana found in Botham Jean's apartment after deadly shooting." Family attorney Lee Merritt told reporters, "It's telling that in a homicide investigation, they went looking for drug paraphernalia. There could only be one purpose for that. The only purpose is to look for information and smear the dead. That is exactly their specific intent." And that does it for our headlines today.